Hello, Deadpool here. We're very excited to be joining you, but we should set the table correctly. We're mostly going to make enemies with Disney and make a lot of jokes at Hugh's expense.
Come again.
So sit back, relax, while we travel to a place where grown men and women walk around in tights and act like it's not a giant cultural cry for help. Because this is cinema.
Shut up.
Oh my God.
Marvel Studios' Deadpool and Wolverine in cinemas Thursday, July 25th.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, July 30th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. The Justice Department says TikTok collected data about its U.S. users' views on gun control, abortion, and religion. We'll tell you about the government's claims and where things stand in the legal battle over TikTok's potential ban or sale in the U.S. And then, most of the world's semiconductor hubs have been union-free in recent decades. That has begun to change. We'll tell you about striking Samsung electronics workers in South Korea and union organizing efforts at chipmakers in the U.S. But first, TikTok is suing the U.S. government over a new law requiring a sale or ban of the popular social media app. It says the law violates free speech. The government says TikTok, through its China-based parent company ByteDance, poses a threat to national security. Last week, the DOJ said in court filings that TikTok has collected data about users' views on sensitive topics and censored content at the direction of ByteDance. With more on this, we're joined by our reporter, Georgia Wells. Georgia, what types of content does the Justice Department say TikTok was collecting and censoring?
The Justice Department says that TikTok was collecting just vast swaths of data about its users. You know, it's got their IP addresses, which is a rough approximation for people's locations. It's got their emails, sometimes phone numbers, sometimes birthday, names. So TikTok has quite a lot of information. It's not typically viewed as like particularly more information than that of most other social media companies. But the question around the amount of data is that TikTok's parent company is Chinese in a way that other social media apps' parent companies do not typically have such extensive ties to China.
What does the government say, you know, it's based its conclusion about the risks of data collection on?
The government outlined, frankly, a lot of history around the relationship between China and companies based in China. And the history behind the Chinese government leaning on companies for data about their users. And the Justice Department laid out examples for when the Chinese government asks a corporate executive for certain data that the company has, it's nearly impossible for those individuals to say no.
And tell us about the specific subjects the Justice Department raised concerns about.
Yeah, so in the filings Friday, the Justice Department kind of outlined this software tool that TikTok had that allowed their employees to collect information based on a user's content, which is not a huge surprise, but the really shocking part was about views such as gun control, abortion, and religion.
And what has TikTok said about this kind of data collection practice?
TikTok hasn't responded to this one in particular, but more broadly, TikTok has in the past pointed to like their data collection practices don't differ all that much tremendously from other U.S. companies. And TikTok has said that the Chinese government has not leaned on it for data about its U.S. users or to show them certain content. And TikTok has said it would not comply with such requests if they were asked.
TikTok has taken some steps to ease these national security concerns. Can you just remind us what they are and how they've been received by the U.S. government?
So TikTok's main effort to convince the U.S. government that they should not be perceived as a threat is this thing called Project Texas. And it was this massive undertaking to basically put a wall around user data in the U.S. and have a third party, Oracle, monitor this data and the algorithm, because the algorithm is developed and based in China, to make sure that data isn't getting sent back to China or the algorithm isn't being used. The Chinese government maybe isn't leaning on the company to downplay or amplify certain topics on the platform. But in the filings on Friday, the Justice Department laid out that their conversations with TikTok around this Project Texas kind of fell apart in part because of government concerns around the amount of data about U.S. users that would still be sent back to ByteDance based in China.
All right. So what happens next in this case?
Well, so in September, we're expecting oral arguments around this case. And January is really the big date on the calendar because that's the date when TikTok is supposed to divest itself from its Chinese parent company ByteDance or potentially face a ban if TikTok does not manage to win this suit.
That was our reporter, Georgia Wells. Coming up, chip industry workers are organizing and striking. We'll tell you what union efforts could mean for the global semiconductor industry. That's after the break.
Have you seen the Real Madrid lineup?
Colin Bridgerton's back.
With the undead.
And it's all about the Iron Throne.
You have to watch it.
What's it on? Bridgerton? Netflix?
The match is on TNT Sports.
House of the Dragon? Only on Now.
That's the one I don't have.
TV that flexes with what's trending? New EETV lets you add and remove subscriptions monthly. Search EETV today.
EETV requires EE Broadband. 24-month contracts. Content may vary. Terms apply.
Thousands of Samsung Electronics employees in South Korea have gone on indefinite strike. It follows a union-organized one-day walkout in June, the first ever strike at Samsung, which is the world's largest maker of memory chips. Here to tell us more about the strike and the precedent it could set around the globe is our reporter based in South Korea, Ji Young-sun. So, how many workers have gone on strike in South Korea?
So members of Samsung Electronics' labor union in South Korea have been on strike since early July. As of now, it's unclear exactly how many workers are participating in the walkout, but according to the union, roughly 6,500 people, most of them involved in chip production, had attended a rally held on the first day of the strike on July 8th. And overall, the Samsung union has also said it currently represents around one quarter of Samsung's total workforce in South Korea, and their business spans across the firm's different lines of businesses in chips, smartphones, and appliances.
Talk us through the reasons for this strike.
Basically, members of the union have been making several demands, including better benefits and also a 3.5% increase in the base pay, an extra vacation day to mark the foundation of the union, and also changes in how the annual bonus payouts for employees are calculated. And also, workers are seeking remuneration for the wages lost during the period of the strike.
What have the company and the union said about the negotiations?
Both sides haven't really released much information about the negotiations other than that they haven't reached an agreement on the demands that the union has been making.
You spoke with some of the striking workers. Can you tell us a bit about their perspectives and what they told you?
Yeah, so the striking workers, basically, they think the management hasn't been sincere in coming to the negotiating table and respecting the union's demands sufficiently, and they think they're being undervalued for the work that they're providing to the company. But from the company side, it's the first time that they're dealing with unions and also a strike of this scale, so it looks like they're also being very careful about how they decide on the outcome of the strike and how it could set a precedent for future strikes to come as well.
Ji Young, you mentioned that the bulk of the workers on strike appear to be from the chip-making production side of Samsung Electronics. The U.S. is pushing to increase its domestic semiconductor production. How could union efforts affect chip-making production in the U.S.?
Yes, so in the U.S., recently, there has been some fresh movements to create unions in the chip industry. Those moves have gained ground, especially as a lot of major chip makers got government funding to build new facilities in the states through laws like the Chips and Science Act from 2022. And that has prompted calls for the money to be used for ensuring better jobs to workers in the industry. For instance, the Communications Workers of America Union that represents tech workers in the U.S., has been pushing big-name U.S. chipmakers like Intel and Micron to sign labor agreements that would guarantee workers the right to form unions and to bargain collectively. It's unclear whether the unionization efforts are going to be successful in the U.S., but if they are, then worker disputes could become another factor that could impact the company's chip production and profit-sharing schemes down the road.
What did U.S. companies say about the efforts to unionize chip workers?
Yeah, so in the U.S., some companies have come out and said that they respect the rights of workers to form unions. But that's been a little bit different from what the CWA union has been demanding, which is for Micron to sign the binding agreement that would guarantee those rights formally. But Micron has expressed a willingness to negotiate with the union.
We should note Intel declined to comment. Jiyoung, we don't know when this Samsung strike might end, but do we have any sense of how it could potentially impact the global semiconductor market?
So far, we don't have independent data on how the strike has affected production. The union side has been claiming that there has been disruptions to the production lines at Samsung. They've cited examples of operational rates at certain production lines going down and critical tasks like checking the quality of chips being delayed. But at the same time, the company has continued to say that the strike has not impacted production and that it will continue to ensure that production isn't affected. So we have competing arguments from both sides, so that might impact how the negotiations go.
All right, that was our reporter Jiyoung Son. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.